Now then, Brother Marty said what he said the other day about the Lord using things to maybe kind of help us to know when to move and not to move. But I felt like this morning it's time to preach the message I've had on my heart for several days. But when they sang that last song, that pretty well iced it right there. We're going to preach on a subject this morning that I don't preach on a whole lot, but I have been preaching on it some lately. But this one's a different angle than what I preached on at other places. Matter of fact, I can't remember the last time I preached on this particular subject or this particular line of thought. Let's go to John 13 and 34, please. You're doing good, brother. Thank you. 13 and 34 of John. This will be my text. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." That ye love one another. A new commandment. Now, what makes it new? Why would he write here in this setting, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another"? For the simple reason in the Old Testament was eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And so consequently now then Jesus has come down and making a plan. That plan is built on love. If he hadn't have loved us, he wouldn't have died for us. If he hadn't have loved us, he wouldn't do what he does for us now. The bottom line is Jesus loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love, like was in the song. That love is a love that blesses, encourages, uplifts us, and helps us in everything that we do, basically. But he said here, "I have a new commandment. I want you to love one another as I have loved you." Now then, Lord, help us here. This can be a little bit rough sometimes because the love of Christ is so deep, wide, and broad that it'd be very hard for you to even get close to it, and me too. But the bottom line is we can love one another. We can show a love to people. We need to show a love to people. We need to show a love to one another. We need to work with them and help them and bless them. Even animals need love. Animals need love. Now, sometimes if you don't give a dog love in particular, maybe, they'll just flat climb up in your lap about demanding it. Cats maybe too, but a cat's more independent than a dog. But a dog is a very loving creature overall, and they want love and they want to give love. And so consequently, if you don't love them, well, Lord, help us today that you and I show love. Do showing and doing love to individuals, saints, sinners, hypocrites, backsliders, God's found, no matter who it is, the Lord wants you and I to show love to everybody. A new commandment. But he specifies here that ye love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love to another, one to another. If you and I don't love one another as a body of people, the people out there looking at us are going to say, "What's wrong with them?" They are expecting, because people know, now I don't know today if it's much as it was years and years ago, but the bottom line is they know God is love, they know Christ is love, and consequently, they probably figure that if you're a church member in a congregation that you love one another. Well, he wants you and I, he said, this shall all men know. This is what's going to prove my love and your love is you loving one another. You have love one to another. So Lord, help us today that we have plenty of love. and do. Now, Brother Egbert Allen, I worked with him. Some of you don't even know him. Matter of fact, probably half this crowd don't even know him. He'd been dead for a number of years. But I worked with him in my early evangelistic work. And he told a story one time, well, they told it several times, I've heard it more than once, that him and his wife had a house, and it was up and had a underneath there that something could go under there, and said they heard a noise, and they got to looking, and there was a dog that was coming around, and she was actually going up under this house. Well, they kind of felt sorry for him, Brother Edward did, and his wife, and so they decided, we're going to help this dog out. We're going to feed it. So they started putting food out and feeding it. They kept working with it. The dog got friendlier, and they're showing love, and the dog begins to respond to that. And as they do that then, next thing they know, they heard a noise under the house. Brother Ingram said, what's that? And they got to look, and this dog had had puppies and moved all six or seven pups in right with it. So he not only got one, he got about eight in the total. And all because he showed love. He showed love, he fed, he done everything he could do to make this dog feel comfortable, because this dog is supposedly lost out there, and Brother Ingram's wanting to help it out. Listen, folks, there's a lot of people out there that need our love. They need you and I to reach out to them. They need you and I to do things for them. They need to feel welcome in our meetings. They need to be a welcome with you and I. They need to be able to see something. And God wants you and I to reach out to everybody with love. All right, 1 John 4 and 7 here. 1 John 4 and 7. Said, beloved, let us love one another. Now, this is John writing. John was known as a minister of love. He just wrote quite way more. As far as I know, he wrote more about love than any other of the writers in the Bible. And he said here, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. For this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now then, he said here that, let us love one another. This is going to be repeated off and on through the whole message. God wants us to get it down pat in our hearts and minds. There are sometimes situations that happen in congregations that people get it off one with another. But there's a way to take care of that. There's two things that will help solidify that or break that down quicker than anything else. You know what it is? Humility and love. You take those two things, if you're willing to humble your heart, if you made a mistake, even if you haven't made a mistake in the deal, humble your heart and go to them and show them some love. Brother Austin Wilson said one time, he said if there's an ought there, he said he's just actually gone in the door and gone right across the building and hugged that brother and let him know, I loved you. Now, I don't know what all that had done for him, but the bottom line was he was showing love. I love you. I want to be your friend. I want to be your brother. I want to help you. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now then, no situation, 1977, Prattville, Arkansas was the meeting. It's in February. Good meeting. And somebody come to the altar, and I didn't know who this young man was, but he had been in and out. He had been saved, and he backslid, and he had ministers in the family, so he wasn't stupid, so to speak, to the church and the Bible and the Word. But he'd had problems keeping that experience. So he went to the altar that night, but he couldn't get anywhere. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and he was looking for a boatload of emotion, a boatload of peas, so to speak, and he couldn't get it. Finally, he was told that more than likely you're not going to get what you got the first time you went down there. It's different now, son. You have backslid, you've walked away, you've done this and this. So now then, what you're going to have to do is we're going to have to pray, and you're going to have to take this by faith. So that's what he did. He and I become friends. We're still friends today, however many years that'd be, 45 years maybe. And we're still friends today. And he told me that said he went home. That was this meeting was on, well, finished on Sunday. And he went back home, and he went to service on Wednesday night. And he said there was a minister in the congregation. Now, this is what he never told me. He almost hated this man. I think he said, I hated him. And he said, I pulled in and parked, and he was sitting there, and this minister pulled in behind him and went down here and parked. And he said, I looked over at him, and he said something was different. He said, I loved him. He said he knew then he had something. I had love in my heart for that man, Brother Carl. I had it. And then from there on, the Lord began to bless him. He said later in the spring, he said he was out mowing and said the Lord got to bless him so much, if I remember right, he flatly stopped his mower and got off of it and shouted and praised God right there in the yard. Well, he had something that he wanted, and he still got it today, many, many years later. So today, Lord, help us. If we love people, we can know we've got something. If we hate people, we know we've got something too, the wrong feeling. We know we're not where we ought to be. We know God don't operate that way. If God hated people, folks, we'd all be in trouble. I wasn't no perfect child. I wasn't a bad, bad sinner. But I wasn't perfect, so to speak. And God done something for me that nobody else could do. And he's had mercy and kept me down through the years because of his grace and his power and his love. He's touched down and touched me over and over and over. And when I was down and discouraged, so to speak, he would encourage me however he done it. And it's been a blessing, but it's through his love. It's through his love. Thank God this morning for the love of God. But God help you and I to have a love for people that they can feel it, that they can know that we love them. Let us love one another. For he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. And this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now we have some fathers in here. I'm a father myself. I got two daughters, don't have any sons, but some of you have sons. How would you like to be willing to give? That son is a sacrifice to something. Would it be easy? No, it would not. It would not be easy to sacrifice that son for something. Even though you knew it was the best thing to be done, even though you knew it was going to be a blessing to many people, the bottom line is, you and I have feelings. We're not just stone cold dead inside. We have feelings. And so consequently, there could be arising of feelings of pain and anguish. That's my son. He's going to die for this person or that person. There's actually been people down through the years, especially husbands and wives, back in the ages when they burned people at the stake, there had been a wife or a husband said, I'll die for you. You let me burn at that stake, and they did it. But then there's some others that have done different things. Today, that would be painful. But listen, folks, God went all the way. Him and Christ, even in the garden, even when he could have turned his back, so to speak, he didn't. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. The flesh was pulling hard, but Christ went all the way. He didn't stop. I'm going to tell you something that I don't say a lot about. But my first wife was sick, and she was on her deathbed. And I was begging God to heal her, as most men would that love their wives. And the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, what if I want to take her child? I was totally speechless for a little bit. I said, Lord, she belongs to you. And if you want to take her, that's your business. You take her. And later, he showed me something. Now, Brother Marty preached on the cup, I believe, at Guthrie. Got a little message. And that day, I looked in that, well, I say that day, it might have been a little while after that, But the Lord let me look in that cup. And when I did, the horror and the pain and the anguish that I saw in that cup made me shrink back. Christ was looking at what he was fixing to face. He knew the crown. He knew the scourging. He knew the nails. He knew the cross. He knew everything that was going to happen to him. He looked at it and it was painful. And the flesh wanted to pull back. But he didn't do it because he loved you. He loved you all the way. He didn't quit, but him and the Father went every mile of the way, so to speak, to make this glorious plan that you and I could have something that nobody else has. Thank God for the love of God. So he said here, it was manifested that the love of God towards us because that God sent his only. Now, I forgot this part, his only begotten son. It's not like he sent 15 of them, but his only one into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Sent his son to be the perpetuation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. All right, let's go to 1 John 3 and 14. 1 John 3 and 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now, John gets pretty strong right here. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word. All right now, as old Brother Herschel used to say, all right now, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, let us show them that we love them. Not just go, oh, I love you, you're the sweetest saint in town and so forth, and never do anything for them if they get in trouble, if they have a problem or so forth. And so consequently, the Lord wants us to show our love to one another. We was in an accident last fall. Molly was hurt the most. She's the chief cook of the house, of course. And she couldn't cook. She didn't feel like cooking. And so the saints got themselves together, however you want to say it, and they started bringing us food. That's love. One of them kept on even after the others quit. One saint, she kept bringing food every Sunday. There is a reason, partial reason for that, but the bottom line, she would not have had to have done it. But she takes care of the Bowley congregation and she fixes a meal for the people there at Bowley every Sunday. So she said, I'm going to fix something for you and bring it by you and give it. Well, actually, I went and met her most of the time and got it just up the street. But I appreciated that. I thought, Sister Clay, you would not have to do this. Listen, folks, love touches the hearts of people. And if we want to touch people, we're going to have to do some things that will touch them. And if you don't know what to do, ask the Father. The Father knows more about it than you and I do. And he can show us what to do and how to do. One minister and his wife, many years ago, if I'm not mistaken, this brother was a pastor of Shawnee congregation for a number of years way back before I was ever saved. I never knew him. I know of him, and I've heard a lot of good things about him and his wife, but I didn't know him. One of the Wilsons. And I believe they had a rent house. Anyway, the person that was renting it had got upset about something, had done some damage to the rent house and pretty well pushed Brother John Wilson and his wife off. And so Sister Wilson thought, I'm going to do something. But she didn't know exactly what to do. So she prayed. And the Lord showed her to make either an apple pie, peach pie. She was very good at making pies. And he said, I want you to make those, and I want you to take them to this woman. And that's what she did. Guess what happened? It made a difference. Now listen, sisters, you don't have to depend on the husband all the time to do something. You got some gifts too. And you can take things and do things. And so consequently, that turned the tide of the whole thing right there. And that no doubt had been done hundreds, maybe thousands of times down through the years, that there's a gets to be a problem, and the Lord knows where the core of it is, and he knows how to touch the depth of it with love and kindness. Hereby we know that we shall know, let's see, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. In other words, don't just talk about it and, oh, I just love you so much and never do anything for them. But indeed and in truth, do something. Help them. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 1 and 22. 1 Peter 1 and 22. Said, being born again, no. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, one day I was thinking on this scripture going somewhere, and thinking on it, I thought, well, the Lord just pointed out to me, he said, you need to love with a pure heart fervently. What would that mean? What does fervent mean? It means warm. It means a glow. In a sense, it means hot. In other words, a love that has action with it. And that's what I'm working on this morning, is the bottom line is we need some action. We need the Lord to help us to know. But you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So you don't just take them one pie, you take them five. You don't just do one thing for them, you do four, five, or six, or whatever. Whatever it might be. In other words, you let them to know I love you. They need to know that you love them. They need to feel that love, that warmth of that love. They need to feel that. So Lord, help us to show the brethren the love that they're due. Listen, folks, we're not the only ones in the church of God. There's other people in here, and we all need to love one another with a pure heart fervently. All right, let's go to Romans 12, 9. Romans 12 and 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring. Preferring one another. In other words, let this all be real. Abhor the things that's evil, cleave to that which is right and good. And he said, be kindly affectioned one another with brotherly love and honor preferring. Oh boy. Have you ever had to prefer your brethren? In 82. They was going to strip and wax the old Guthrie Chapel. I guess the head of it was Brother Bob Salee and my nephew Earl. He wasn't my nephew then, but he is now. And so Earl decided he wanted me to come help. Well, that's not too bad of an idea, except I was over in Thayer, Missouri with a young lady I was in love with. Now, brethren, you young people, you think about that. He calls me up, he wants me to come help do some work. Well, I thought about it, I said, all right, Earl. I'll come for your sake. We're friends. And I was a good friend, Brother Bob, too. So we went over there and we done it. And then it come time for the pastor to hand out some gratitude, and everybody got mentioned but me. I'll admit it bugged me a little bit. I thought I worked that too. Maybe done more than some of the rest of them because I knew what I was doing more than Earl and I were professional janitors. We knew what to do. And so consequently, it bothered me, but the Lord let me know. He said, you love the brethren. How does it say here? In honor preferring one another. Now, this can be a little bit tough on us, but this can show us a lot of this, what I'm preaching this morning, will show us exactly where we're at when we do what the Bible says to do. In other words, give the honor to them. Let them have it. You just kind of sleep back over here and do your thing. Maybe they call for another, you come back and do it, you don't get recognized again. Or maybe a third time or a fourth time. But the bottom line is, in honor, preferring one another. Let love be without dissimulation. Let it be real. Let it be solid. Abhor that which is evil. But be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. All right, let's go to Proverbs 10 and 12. I don't have too much in the Old Testament, but I got a little bit. Proverbs 10 and 12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. All right, then we want 1 Peter 4 and 8. That'll tie right into that, 1 Peter 4 and 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, folks, we can't forgive sins as far as like Christ can. But to cover sins, and how does this say it here? It says, charity shall cover the multitude of sins. In other words, if there are things done against you and I, we don't hold that against the people. We cover it with love, so to speak. And we reach out, we do, we try to get this thing balanced back the way it ought to be. And sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes it don't happen overnight. Sometimes it takes time. But folks, Christ worked with some of us a long time before we got saved. Week, 2 weeks, a year, 2 years. He worked a while to get our attention. He worked a while to get us to come around. He worked a while before we said, Lord, have mercy on my soul and save me. So he's saying here, for charity shall cover. Is there anything out there that somebody's done to you? Let charity cover, or put it in a position where you're not looking at it, thinking about it, and so forth, but you're looking at their soul, you're looking at their life, and you're saying, I love you and I want to help you. Look over it. Forget it. Put it down, so to speak. It's not worth causing problems between people because you and I don't love them enough to cover the things that happen, the things that they do. One minister, sister, was at a family reunion one time a number of years ago. And one of her cousins, I believe it was, first cousin maybe, she'd not seen him very often, but he wasn't of the same realm, so to speak. He was, I think, caught up in drugs and maybe alcohol and stuff like that. So he didn't look good, didn't smell good. And he comes to this reunion. And she, if I remember right, she said she was standing somewhere. She's elevated a little bit. And he come up and was close to her and she was looking at him. And she looked at him through an eyes of, I'm better than you. And she looked at him and she looked at him. She disdained him, so to speak. And she thought, where you need to be is somewhere else, not here with the rest of us that are clean, the rest of us that are doing our thing right. You've been out drinking and drugging and so forth, and here you come dragging in. You shouldn't even be here. Guess what happened? The Lord spoke to her. And if I remember right, she said, and she told me this personally, so it's not something I heard over the grapevine. She goes, Carl, said the Lord spoke to me and said, what if I treated you that way? Where would you be? Would you be saved today? Guess what? She humbled her heart right quick. And she quit looking through the eyes of looking down and I'm better than you and so forth. Listen, folks, those people down there, I know the smell and I've not been around a lot of that. But I've been around enough of it that the bottom line is it's not pretty. It don't smell good. I read a book one time of somebody in the congregation, Shawnee, loaned to me, the ABCs of alcoholics. And a couple had started a hope house or whatever you want to call it. In other words, to help people like this. They had a gift and they were saved and they lived for God. And they were doing everything they could get the alcoholics to get in and get them saved and get them settled and established, maybe drug addicts, I believe, too. But it wasn't easy. They'd maybe get up a little ways and then they'd fall back. So it's not easy working with that. But folks, if Christ didn't work with you and I, when we were down in the quagmires of sin, where would we be today? He saved and He redeemed, He washed, He raised us up, He brought us out, He set our feet on solid rock, He done what nobody else could do for us. And now then, we're looking down with eyes. How does Christ look on those people? He looks in eyes of love. He looks with eyes that, come on, child, I want to save you, I want to redeem you, I want to help you. He looks at people with a look of love and mercy and pity and compassion. Charity shall cover. I've never worked with too many people like that. I'm not saying I wouldn't. I've just never been in a position to do it. But I've read some about it, and I know some things about it. But the bottom line is, they need love. If anybody needs love, they need love. They need people to help them and work with them. I had a situation here a while back that I was mowing there at the house, and I heard a noise. I didn't pay much attention to it at first, but then I got to looking, and there was a man out on the street, side of the street there by my property, and he was calling for me to come. So I went, and he said, sir, I need your help. Well, to be honest with you, little me scared of a lot of things. We've got people that'll kill you at the drop of the hat. They'll rob you at the drop of the hat. And I'm not no big 7-foot guy. I'm just a little rascal. But he said, I need your help, and he said it in such a way that it touched me. So I told the wife what I was going to do. He said, I need you to take me to Meeker, which was about 2.5 miles up the road. He said, I need you to take me up there and put me up, and then I can do what I need to do. What did I do? I done it. I've never seen him since. I talked to him. I don't remember what all we talked about. But here's another thing. When some things like these happen, this opens a door for you and I to put in. I'm saved and living for God. And I have a burden. Do you go to church? Have you ever heard about Jesus Christ? Do you know anything about Him and so forth? It opens up a door for you and I to do what we wouldn't do otherwise, or couldn't do maybe otherwise. So Lord, help us to take the opportunities in love and caution maybe. Like I said years ago, it wouldn't have bothered me so much, but people do today, they do things that just almost unheard of. So Lord, help us. Charity should cover the multitude of sins. Have you got somebody out there that needs you, needs your help? You got somebody that you're across with, maybe a friend or a neighbor or maybe even somebody in the congregation. They need you to look with eyes of love and heart of love and a heart of mercy. And let's get these things worked out if there's something there. All right, let's move to Luke 10 and 30. Luke 10 and 30. It said, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was in that place, he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Now which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the man said, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. The ones that should have done it didn't. Now there's religious movements today is after one thing. That's your almighty dollar. That's what they want. They're after money. And they'll do anything they can do to get it. We used to go to a Tops, and Rebecca and I did, and they happened to leave a, evidently they'd use this room for a business meeting, and they had the sheets typed up and everything about the everything that they did and the costs and so forth, and had there the preacher's salary. And I looked at that, curious. He was making $5,000 a month, plus health insurance. I believe the house was furnished for him. He had a pretty good deal. Now, I don't know the man. I've never met him. But the bottom line is Babylon has got a lot of places that's just like that. But the world needs people that will reach out to them and help them in every way they can. And so consequently, there's going to be some people that's going to be at the side of the road, so to speak, that you and I need to stop and help. But a certain Samaritan, this is the last one that would be known to help him, because him and that body of people were totally at odds with one another. But the priest didn't do it. The Levite didn't do it. Religious people, they didn't do it. But here's the one that would more likely kill him than anything else. And he went to him and helped him. Bound him up. He didn't just do a little bit, but he went beyond, to me, he went beyond duty, so to speak. He went the whole nine yards. Let's put it that way. And went to him and he bound up his wounds. He poured in the oil and the wine, something that would help him, and set him on his own beast and brought him to the inn, took care of him. And then he had to go, and he told the man, said, you take care of him, I'll pay you what you're due when I get back. Take care of him. He said, now, so Jesus then, well, who was the neighbor? Who was the friend of this man? Who was the one that helped him? Well, the man that done that. He said, go and do that likewise. So Lord, help us. We're supposed to work with the church of God. We're supposed to help one another. But the bottom line is there's a big world out there that needs a lot of help. I've seen a lot of things, per se, in my day. And the world's in the biggest mess I've seen it in since I've been growing up or grown. Used to, you wouldn't see some of the things. You wouldn't hear some of the things that's going on. Used to, we was teenagers. We didn't bust into 7-Elevens by the numbers and rob them and so forth. We wouldn't take a whole group of us and go in and bust into a jewelry store and rob them or go into a car dealership and steal cars right out. We wouldn't do those things. You never even heard of it. So the world's in a mess, and the way to fix the mess is love. The way to help people is through love. All right, let's wind it on down. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, first verse. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. So charity is sitting on the high rank here in each one of these. Now he said, charity suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, it believeth all things, it hopeth all things, and it endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which in part shall be done away. Now the last verse of this said, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. You got to have faith. You got to have hope. But he said charity is the greatest of them. The greatest of these is charity, or love. Faith is going to do things. Your hope will do things. But folks, charity has a larger, broader area than any of it. And that is why the Lord wants you and I to love one another. It's what's going to help us. Help us. Said if we don't have it, we're just going to be a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Said though I can speak the tongues of men, angels, have not charity, I'm just tinkling, sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So today, charity suffered long, kind, don't envy, don't vaunt it not itself, don't lift itself up, and not puffed up in any way, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. And it never fails. That's a big statement right there. It never fails. So Lord, help us today. This right here is a powerful chapter. And it ought to challenge us powerful. Lord, help me to live up to what this is saying. Help me, Lord, to do what I need to do. Help me, Lord, to reach out. Suffered long. Christ has suffered long with us, folks. We need to have love enough to suffer long with other people. Sometimes they say, well, this person's not measuring up, they're not doing this, and so forth. Listen, there is another thing. It's a pet peeve of mine, if you want to call it that. There are people that come to Monarch sometimes that's not just dressed like you would like to see them dressed. But folks, if they're there, and whether they're saved or they're not saved, and part of this, I look through evangelistic eyes because we're out to get the public in, we're out to get the public saved. Brother Marty, myself, Brother Michael, we're out to do these things. So consequently, Lord, help us to look through eyes of love at a soul. Maybe they don't just dress like we think. And I can tell you stories of people that have been to Monarch and got offended and walked away. And I know a deal today, they've never come back. And they wasn't dressed all that bad, but somebody made a comment and chased them off, so to speak. So help us to be willing to suffer with one another. Got to remember sometimes it takes a while. We didn't learn everything overnight. Brother Clifford, you learn everything overnight? No. You've been in this a long time too. Bottom line, it takes a while. It's not going to happen. Everybody not going to grow up at a speedy 90-mile-an-hour run. The bottom line is it takes time. And the rest of us ought to have plenty of love that's suffering long. Pity, mercy, and compassion on people. It's kind with it. It don't envy. It vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own, not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. So Lord, help us to have a love that is for souls. If you don't feel like you have that, I ask you to pray for it. I ask you to reach out to God and say, Lord, help me to have the burden, the love, Lord, for souls. Because there's a lot of people that's going to hell out there by the thousands. 155,000 something souls die in 24 hours every day around the world. That's more than a lot of cities and towns in the United States, many more than that. And 155,000, look up the stats if you want to check me on it, but thousands and thousands die. It even got it down to how many people die per second and per minute and per hour and so forth. And the Lord wants you and I to reach out and say, come. Let them know you love them. Let them know you want to help them. Take them a pie. Take them a turkey. Take them a ham sandwich. Take them grilled hamburgers, whatever. Let them know that I love you and I want to help you. I'm interested in you. And form a relationship. And then maybe one day they'll come to church and sit down with you and be in meeting with you. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Christ's love for you never failed. There might have been time, maybe it looked like you wasn't going to get where you need to be. But it didn't fail. He kept loving you anyway. He kept reaching out anyway. He kept calling anyway. I've known of cases that people crossed the line. And down in Mississippi, my mother's congregation, there was a man there. And God was dealing with him one night. And he would not make the move to go to the altar. Folks, you may think this kind of stuff is a little bit whatever, but let me tell you something, it's absolutely real. It does happen. There is people that have rejected Christ for the last time. And he would stand up, he would beg people to get saved, and he would say, I have no hope of going to heaven. I know where I'm going. I'm headed to hell when I die. He'd tell them that. Mama said he would do it quite a bit. He'd come to church. He was a regular churchgoer, but he couldn't be saved. There's people out there that need our love. They need our help. They need our encouragement. They need our strength. They need us to do things for them. So I want to challenge you this morning to do more, to help more. All right, let's go to Philippians 1 and 9. Well, let's go 1 and 8. I like that one too. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul here is letting it know that I love you. And then he goes, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that your love will abound. I want to challenge you, let's abound more in love. Let's do something for somebody. I've seen some things done with the young people right here in this congregation through the years. And it's been a blessing. But middle-aged and older, don't let the young ones outdo us. We could do some things too. We could invite some people to meeting. When's the last time that you reached out and said, why don't you come to service? We've got a camp meeting going on. Or maybe just a regular service. We have a pastor and we have Sunday school. Come be with us. When's the last time you've done that? Lord, help us to do all we can do, because hell is hot and it's for all eternity. I appreciate your time and attention. I'm glad to be here in this meeting. Let's stand and have a number. We desire your prayers.